Current State comes your way 7 days a week on 90.5 WKAR or on AM 870 WKAR. Glad you could join us today. Despite our recent snow and chilly temperatures, many trees are starting to bud here in mid-Michigan. One particular species, the northern red oak, is worth a summer-long wait to see its leaves turn to a fiery shade in the fall. But this year, many red oaks in Michigan might not make it that long. Oak wilt disease is a fungal infection that turns leaves brown and kills off trees in midsummer. It's always fatal to the tree. Oak wilt disease has been found this spring across much of the northern lower peninsula. Here to talk about the effects of oak wilt disease are Ray Gurley. Ray is a forestry expert with Consumers Energy Hydroelectric Program. Welcome to the program, Ray.
Good to be here, Mark.
And returning to Current State, Dr. Deb McCullough, professor of entomology at Michigan State University. Deb, welcome back.
Thank you, Mark.
Ray Gurley, what happens to a red oak? What do we see when we see a red oak that's contracted oak wilt?
What we see in a red oak that's contracted oak wilt is wilting. It's the fungal disease clogs tyloses, which are small water-conducting pores that transport water from the roots to the leaves. And as these pores become clogged, the leaves wilt and will fall off. And a lot of the time, this happens during the greatest period of water demand on an oak tree. So early spring to midsummer is when we're going to see that wilting occur.
And go a little bit deeper with us on the cause here. What if this is a fungus?
Yeah, so this is a fungus. It's actually very closely related to Dutch elm disease, and it's vectored by, you know, two of the same means that Dutch elm disease, by root grafts and by small sap-beating beetles.
Are there areas of the state that are more affected here? Deb, can you answer that?
Well, I would say yes, there are. It's definitely spotty. It's been a problem in the Upper Peninsula for quite a while now, probably as bad as anywhere around the central part of the Upper Peninsula. And then it's been real spotty in Lower Michigan. And the problem is that once you have a tree that dies, and then as Ray said, the fungus can move from the dead tree into adjoining trees, and now you have more dead trees, and all of those trees are producing spores, which can blow in the air or be carried by the beetle. And so you end up with more and more inoculum, if you want to think of it that way, more spores. And gosh, we're seeing it on the west side of Lower Michigan, northern Lower Michigan, picking it up in some areas around Oakland County in the southeast. And it's not continuous, but we definitely have a bigger problem than we had even 5 or 10 years ago.
How controllable is this problem, Ray?
This problem can be controlled by not pruning from April through July. And that's probably the best thing that we can do, other, you know, preventing the spread by not moving firewood, not transporting wood.
But the pruning's the heart logs. But the pruning is really the heart of the cure here.
The pruning is the crux of prevention that a landowner or, you know, an owner of a tree can.
And why is that? What is it about pruning that jeopardizes these trees?
So these wounds, these open fresh wounds on the oak tree, the sap beetles are attracted to that. The fungus had the spore pads crack open the bark on the bole of the tree, so on the trunk of the tree, and these sap beetles are attracted to the fruity, kind of stale beer smell that this fungus gives off. So they go down into these cracks, and they rub up against these spore pads and get spores through their scales and on their legs, and as they move to other fresh wounds on oak trees, whether it be pruning wounds or wounds from a lawnmower, wounds from construction equipment, they bring those spores with them and then transport spores to trees that are have not been infected.
There's an insect that's at the heart of this, I guess, the picnic beetle.
Yes, picnic beetles. The name sounds so friendly and cheerful,
it does.
Doesn't it? they're not very
they're
big.
Killers, right?
Well, it's not their fault exactly. They are attracted to anything that smells sweet or sickly sweet. When we want to trap them, we'll take bananas and put them in a pie pan and pour beer over them. And if you think of what that would smell like in a few days, that's the kind of stuff they're attracted to. And they're not very large. They're maybe a little bit bigger than a ladybug, kind of longer, dark-colored with four yellow or orangish patches on the backside. and they want to feed on sap. And so as Ray said, when you have a tree, an oak tree, that's been killed by oak wilt disease, there are, we call it a fungal mat, and it pushes through the bark, and the beetles really want to feed on that. And so they do, and then they fly off to a healthy tree, and maybe they feed, maybe a branch broke in a windstorm, or maybe, like Ray said, there's been some construction damage, and that fungus will move off of the beetle, get into the tree, and the trees are really vulnerable in May and June, because that's when they're producing early wood. If you think about a tree, and if you've ever looked at a fresh stump, you see bands of light-colored wood and then dark wood alternating back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a tree grows and puts wood on, in May and June, it's making early wood. And those vessels are big, and a lot of water moves through those vessels. And somewhere around the end of June, middle of July, they switch and produce late wood. And the late wood vessels are much smaller, and they have very thick cell walls, and that's why it looks dark when you look at a tree ring. And so what tree rings are is early wood, late wood, early wood, late wood.
Mm.
And the fungus can infect the early wood because you have these great big vessels. The fungus gets in there. The fungus starts to grow in the water-conducting vessels, these big vessels in the wood, and that's what plugs up the ability of the tree to transport water. And so if a tree can't move water from the roots to the leaves, like Ray said, the leaves start to wilt. And all of this is going to be happening in May and June. And boy, you don't want to attract beetles. The best way to deal with this pathogen is not to have it come into your woodlot or into your yard.
We're talking about an outbreak of oak wilt disease in parts of Michigan here this spring. It's mainly happening in the northern counties of the Lower Peninsula here. I see Grand Traverse, Leelanau, Kalkaska, and Benzie counties, I guess. Our guests are Deb McCullough, professor of entomology at Michigan State University, and Ray Gurley, a forestry expert with Consumers Energy's hydropower operations. Now, some species of trees are apparently more vulnerable than others. Well, here's my first question. How many different species of oak tree are there?
There are hundreds of different species of oak trees within Quercus around globally. But within Michigan, I would have to say around 25 to 30 species.
But some of those are more vulnerable than others.
Yeah, so oaks are broken into two groups, the genus Quercus is where oaks lie, and it's broken down into two groups, into red oak group and white oak group.
Okay.
And that's based on the wood structure, leaf morphology, other characteristics. And red oak group is more susceptible due to the larger size of those vessels. Those water-conducting pores are larger in red oak group.
I guess these are also, these are the oaks, just as for a layman, these are the oaks with the leaves with points on the ends of them. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So at the tip of the leaf, there will be a fine hair, a bristle-tipped hair, and you know usually they're pointed leaves. White oaks usually have rounded tip leaves.
Are the trees that are affected this year mainly on public or private land? Is that relevant?
It's a mixture of ownerships.
Okay.
Some of the ownerships and, you know, where oak wilt is found is on private lands, is lands owned by Consumers Energy, by Mayo Dam Pond. We have Mayo State Park that actually falls onto Consumers Energy ownership that the state leases. And so we have problems with oak wilt there because of the influx of campers and wood that's moving around through the state.
Can the wood of a diseased tree still be used for commercial purposes?
So this fungus is actually very intolerant of drying out. It's very intolerant of being dried out, and it doesn't tolerate competition from other wood rot fungi. So as a log is slabbed, you know, as it's being cut into boards, those slabs are cut off and usually chipped. And that renders that material useless to the fungus. The fungus cannot survive that drying process laying in a chip pile.
Okay. In terms of forest management, Deb McCullough, at what point do we humans start to interfere with natural selection and step in to act?
Well,
is there a threshold there? I guess that's my question.
Yeah, it kind of depends on your perspective there, I think. Oak wilt, there's a lot of evidence that it's not native to North America. It's probably one of these invasive problems that it came in at some point. Nobody paid attention to it until it started killing trees. So I'm not sure that we would say it's necessarily a natural thing. I think that we can, as people and the kinds of things that people do, we increase the likelihood that trees are going to become infected because we build houses in the middle of woods with oaks around them, and we cut roads or we cut sidewalks around oak trees. And now you're injuring the trees, you're stressing the trees, you're creating root wounds, that kind of thing. And all of that, you know, that's going to make the tree attractive to beetles and susceptible to things like oak wilt.
Ray Gurley, Michigan has a long-standing ban on transporting firewood. How well is it obeyed?
I would say the enforcement of that ban is very lax. It's very difficult to enforce, and, you know, that's, you know, what I would say about
Deb,
that.
Deb, you're in agreement with that generally or not?
Well, I think, you know, in trying to enforce a ban, right now you're not supposed to take firewood from lower Michigan into upper Michigan, and that has to do with emerald ash borer and oak wilt and a number of different insects and pathogens that can be transported that way. Legally, you can move firewood, you know, across lower Michigan or across the UP. It's hard to regulate. I did this for years. My husband and I, if we were going camping or fishing or hunting, we would take some firewood, throw it in the truck because you never knew what you were going to find.
Before the awareness of this problem really became widely known. That was not a big deal.
It wasn't a big deal, you know, and you think about a tree dies in the back of your house, you cut it down, you split it up, you put that firewood on top of the pile. Often that's the first wood that you grab when you're going up for 4th of July or whatever.
Right.
And things like oak wilt, you know, the firewood won't transmit it for more than about a year. The old firewood is not the issue. It's the relatively fresh firewood. And it's just really hard to control. And I think most people, if they understand why it's not a good idea to move firewood, they'll do the right thing.
We've been talking about oak wilt disease, which is affecting much of the red oak forest in the northern Lower Peninsula. Ray Gurley is a forestry expert with Consumers Energy, and Deb McCullough is a professor of entomology here at Michigan State University. Ray, Deb, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
Hey, thank you, Mark.